Okay, so we've got Community Sunday today, where we're going to come together and have some community and fellowship. So when I was asked to speak today, actually first, visual reminder, you probably noticed you picked up some communion accoutrement as you entered. If you did not, please go ahead and grab that. Normally we do this during worship. Today, we're going to actually do this as part of the teaching. If you need one, raise your hand, and my lovely father-in-law will be handing those out to you. I think he's lovely. He's always been kind to me. So today, I want to talk about community. I want to talk about what it means. I want to talk about what it is in the Bible and why we're called to it. And I think that a lot of us have experienced community in different ways. I know that today, community can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Community can be a small town of like 300 people where you know everyone's name. It could be a group of friends that you hang out with on a regular basis. It could be the people that you see on a regular basis, whether that's at work or in the coffee shop or whatever. I think community is a little bit more powerful than just the people you see every day. I think it's more powerful than the people you necessarily hang out with and laugh with. Laughter is definitely part of it. I love to laugh, and I think it's a big part of why we're called to community. But it's also something that we have to invest in. It's also something that we have to sacrifice for. It's something that we are called to do in the Bible. Now, every now and then, I did say I love to laugh, there's a little bit of community that ties us together, can be inside jokes. Now, I don't know if y'all have ever noticed, you probably will from now on, or you may not remember this, but Paul could be up here, our amazing Pastor Paul could be giving a very serious message, and he could be reading from somewhere, let's say Isaiah 11:11, and he could be saying something like, In that day, the Lord will extend his hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of his people from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Crush, from Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the coastlands of the sea. And for most of you guys, that's just a list of locations. But for at least two of my super geeky friends, it's an opportunity to go, Tyshar Shinar. So there's a book series that Shinar is a location, and there's a greeting in this book series where they say Tyshar, wherever that person's from, and it basically means may your land prosper, and it's a greeting. So every now and then we'll have an inside joke where we're saying Tyshar Shinar when Paul just reads it out loud in church, and it's pretty funny. Community is also sometimes a gathering of people to bond and to support each other. Recently, my wife actually had a gathering at our house of 15 women to paint some doormats and to eat some food and spend time with each other. It's a beautiful community that she has built amongst some friends that are fellow Christians but are not part of this body. Heaven forbid you have community that doesn't come here. I'm just kidding. I encourage it. It's part of a bigger picture because we're all the body of Christ. Now, when there's 15 women at the Shepherd household, I find an opportunity to have community with my dad. And so I take my kiddos and we go and we leave and we have community elsewhere. But it is something that these are common examples. They're kind of funny. They're kind of humorous. But this is just part of it. And I think it's important for us to look at what the Bible has to say about community. Because community, as I say, is in the Bible. So, let's start in Acts. If you would, turn to Acts 2, 42. And in Acts 2, starting in verse 42, we're going to see what the early church looked like. Starting in 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's a beautiful picture. It was a transformative time, and it was a time when people were giving freely and supporting each other. And God was growing his body daily with those to be saved. It was a beautiful time. It's kind of funny because it wasn't just people gathering together to enjoy some arts and crafts and some food. It wasn't just inside jokes. These people were sacrificing their time. They were sacrificing their possessions. They were leaning in and supporting each other on a level that truly most of us struggle with. The idea even to approach that. And I think it's interesting that the Bible uses such a stark contrasting example to our own lived experiences. And I think it's time for us to take a note to say, we have our own lived experiences. We need to approach the Bible openly and try and let go of our biases. That wasn't in my notes, but there you go. All right. Oh my goodness. Support system. Yeah. I also find what the early church did in Acts to point to other areas that are applicable to us even today. This was a group of individuals who were not lone wolves. They weren't going at it alone. And I think, especially as Westerners, we tend to look at things from I can do this alone. I can make this happen. I can strive. I can struggle. I can pull myself up by my bootstraps. And thank you, Jesse. Let me just let the Bible say for itself. Proverbs 18:1. Kudos to Kevin Joyner for sending me this one this week. He said, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. That sounds like a very strong caution to being an isolationist amongst yourself. To me, that sounds like something that could be very offensive to the American ideals. And I would just encourage you that if that somehow ticks something in you, if that stings a little bit, I encourage you to talk to me and reach out and let's have community. Let's have some fellowship. A little bit more encouraging note. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." Y'all, this is beautiful to me because it is applicable. So truly applicable to every single person. Okay. I think I'm going to take a moment, take a glass of water. Because I'm about to talk about some heavy stuff. just the verbiage in and of itself is very practical. And I think that there's a metaphor that people sometimes use with this verse, that's if there's a heavy box, it's really hard for one person to pick up a big, heavy, cumbersome box. But if a second person can come alongside them and help them lift it up, it's something that can be overcome. And that heavy box can be a lot of things. It can be unexpected job loss. It can be a health crisis. It can be really difficult family situations. And y'all, we're not supposed to try and lift that box by ourselves. We're supposed to help each other lift that box. Jana and I have lifted some heavy boxes. And I can tell you guys, our marriage is stronger because we were loved and supported by our church family. We had community and fellowship with people that came alongside us and helped lift that box. We're not meant to do this by ourselves. We're supposed to do this together. Now, what about that third strand? Typically, the third strand is God. And it's typically talked about in a manner of a man and a woman and God coming together and that marriage. I think it's also applicable to community. I think it's also applicable to community because God is supposed to be the center of everything that we're doing. Jesus should be our focus. When we come beside each other and we help lift that heavy box, when we come together and we do arts and crafts, when we come together and we laugh and we tell stories and we play games, it's with Jesus at the center. It's with God at the focus of what we're doing so that we can grow together and expand the kingdom of God. So, Hebrews 13:16 says, "And do not forget to do good, to share with others, for which sacrifices God is pleased." Philippians 2:3-4 says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others." I can tell you, when you're coming to help someone lift a heavy box, you're not thinking about yourself. You're thinking about your brother or your sister dealing with a heavy box, and you want to help. So I would encourage you that these are things that we're called to do very explicitly. And it's a beautiful thing when we can come together and do it. All right. The Apostle Paul also talks about community, specifically as we are a body of Christ, the body of Christ. If you could, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. And while you're turning there, I also wanted to say, when I was thinking about talking about community today, I had my wife, I had Kevin, I had Anthony, other people reach out and talk to me about unsolicited about things related to community and fellowship. And I took it as affirmation that this is what I'm supposed to talk about today. Anthony was reading a book. Forgive me, Anthony, I don't remember the name of the book. But he was talking, he read me, I think it was the foreword, the preface, the first chapter. If you want to know what book Anthony is reading, talk to Anthony. He loves to talk to people. One-on-one, he truly does. But one of the things that really stood out to me was in today's society, especially in America, we tend to want $3 worth of fellowship. We want some shallow connection. We want a smile and a hi, how are you, while we're drinking coffee. And I say we, not as in us here. Maybe it is. If that sticks out to you, then maybe it is. But a lot of us, we don't want to dig deep. We don't want to help lift that heavy box. We don't want to be vulnerable enough to let people know we have a heavy box we're dealing with. So I would encourage you all to think about the level of fellowship that you want. Because I want more than $3 worth of fellowship. All right, 1 Corinthians 12. This is long, but I'm going to read the whole thing because I think it's good. I thought about paraphrasing, I really did. And then I was like, why would I paraphrase? I'm just going to read this. Starting in verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized with one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given to one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for this reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. Y'all, it doesn't matter what your day is. It doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in today. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, if you have said, Lord, forgive me for my sins, cover me with your blood, Lord, I say you, Jesus, our Lord, then you're part of the body of Christ. And some people who are part of the body in Life Church, we do different things. Sometimes people are on the worship team. Sometimes people make coffee. Sometimes people are back there ministering to the kids. Sometimes people come in and sit down and are a constant testament to God's goodness by being present. No single one of you, no single one of us is unimportant, is unvalued. Every single one of us is worthy of honor because we are part of the body of Christ. So, I just want to stop and say thank you. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for worshiping our Lord together as a body. Not being an isolationist, but coming together to worship and to learn and to be present. Thank you. Whew. Romans 12, 4 through 8. If y'all don't know, I just put a lot of scripture in any time I talk because I figure you can't go wrong by reading the Bible. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to each other. I love that last little bit. We belong to each other as the body of Christ. As promised, we're going to talk about communion, and we're going to take communion. Because This idea of us being the body is truly, tangibly reaffirmed every time we take communion together. Because it is through the breaking of his body and the shed blood of Christ that we are able to be called one body. So, if you could take your little cracker and juice, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 10:16 through 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, who we are many, are one body, for we all share the one loaf. One body. When we take communion together, it is a reaffirmation that we are one body of Christ through Christ. So I would encourage you to take the bread, and I want you to hold it. And as we approach communion, we're not to do this lightly. So I'm going to take a moment, and I want you to get right anything in your heart that needs to get right with God. And as you're ready, I like to break it as a physical reminder that his body was broken for us. And now if you'll take the juice, representation of the blood of Christ. That truly says, as you take this, the blood of Christ that washed over each and every one of us, making us welcome to be part of the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We belong together, you guys. We belong together, and it's a good thing. All right, now what? Now what? I like to have a call to action, personally. I'm very goal-oriented. I'm a very item checklist-driven individual. Not to say that this is a checklist that I'm giving you, because that would definitely be wrong. But as I've said before, it's because of the sacrifice of Christ, because of the love of God, that we are driven, that we are pulled, that we are transformed to doing things that are God-like. Things that we see Jesus do. Things that our Bible tells us we should do. So, we've talked about community as it was in Acts. We've talked about why we need it in Ecclesiastes. And we talked about something else. Oh yeah, the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians. But I want to leave you with a challenge. I truly do. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another towards the love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Galatians 6:2 says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way fulfill the law of Christ." That's pretty powerful right there. Carry each other's burdens so that you'll fulfill the law of Christ. I want you guys to reflect on what I've said. And if anything sticks out at you as painful, as annoying, as frustrating, I ask you to pray about it. Pray about it, and then let's talk about it. Let's have some community. Let's have more than $3 worth of fellowship. Let's find the individuals that God puts on our heart to reach out to reconnect with. Let's find that heavy box. Let's help someone lift it. We're about to break and we're going to have a meal. I love that. If you're going to sit down with the same people that you always sit down with, and it's going to leave someone isolated, I would encourage you that maybe we need to rethink how we're approaching what we're about to do. Yeah. Maybe we need to try and be as inclusive as we can to represent the body of Christ here today and now. And I say that to myself. I say that to Scotty Shepherd because I love my friends. But I also need to remind myself that I love the people I don't know as well because they are also part of the body. All right, I think I'm done, y'all. I'm done. I got something else, but it's okay. If you want to know what that something else was, come talk to me later. Have some fellowship. A little bit more than $3 worth. All right, y'all. I don't even know how long that was, but it was some time. Let's see. Who was going to pray for... Lynn, did you want to come up and give us some instructions on Lift Food while you have a captive audience? Okay. While she's coming up, I want to pray. You got a...
I don't call it that skill anymore, but...
We got a mic right here.
Oh, well, okay. I need a mic, don't I?
Yeah, it's all right. All right, I'm going to pray for us real quick.
Okay.
Lord... Jesus, help us as we come and say, we are your body on this earth representing you, Lord. Help us be a good representation. Help us to honor those that we instinctively don't necessarily want to honor. Help us lift up those that are worth their heavy boxes, Father. Jesus, you are so good. You are so good, Lord Jesus. Lord, help us lean in and listen to when the Holy Spirit moves within us to do something that is uncomfortable, that is outside of our norm. Lord, help us to see every single person as you see them, Father, as a cherished son or daughter, as a loving, loved member of the family. Lord, help us to have deep community and fellowship with each other. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all.